For 10 days, the CIA team waited for the mysterious Jordanian to show up. From gloomy mid-December through the miserable holidays, the officers shivered under blankets, retold stale jokes, drank gallons of bad coffee, and sipped booze from styrofoam cups. They counted distant mortar strikes, studied bomb damage reports, and listened for the thrum of Black Hawk helicopters ferrying wounded. And they waited. Christmas morning arrived on a raw wind, and still they sat. They picked at gingerbread crumbs in the packages sent from home and stared at the ceramic nativity figurines one of the officers had set up in lieu of a tree. Then it was December 30, the last dregs of the old year and the 10th day of the vigil, and finally came word that the Jordanian agent was on the move. He was heading west by car through the mountains of Pakistan's jagged northwestern fringe, wearing tribal dress and dark sunglasses and skirting Taliban patrols along the treacherous highway leading to the Afghan frontier. Until now, no American officer had ever seen the man, this spectral informant called Wolf, whose real name was said to be known to fewer than a dozen people, this wily double agent who had penetrated Al-Qaeda, sending back coded messages that lit up CIA headquarters like ball lightning. But at about 3 p.m. Afghanistan time, Humam Khalil al-Balawi would step out of the murk and onto the fortified concrete of the secret CIA base known as Khost. The news of his pending arrival set analysts scurrying to finalize preparations. Newly arrived base chief Jennifer Matthews, barely 3 months into her first Afghan posting, had fretted over the details for days, and now she dispatched her aides to check video equipment, fire off cables, and rehearse details of a debriefing that would stretch into the night. She watched them work, nervous but confident, her short brown hair pulled to the side in a businesslike part. At 45, Matthews was a veteran of the agency's counterterrorism wars, and she understood Al-Qaeda and its caste of fanatical death worshippers better than perhaps anyone in the CIA. Better, in fact, than she knew the PTA at her kids' school back home in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Hard-nosed and serious, Matthews was one of the agency's rising stars, beloved by upper management. She had leaped at the chance to go to Khost in spite of the quizzical looks from close friends who thought she was crazy to leave her family and comfortable suburban life for such a risky assignment. True, she would have much to learn. She had never served in a war zone, or run a surveillance operation, or managed a routine informant case, let alone one as complex as the Jordanian agent. But Matthews was smart and resourceful, and she would have plenty of help from top CIA managers who were following developments closely from the agency's Langley, Virginia headquarters. Their advice so far? Treat Balawi like a distinguished guest. Matthews signed off on a security plan for the visit, though not without carping from some of the Special Forces veterans in her security detail. Her primary concern was not so much for the agent's physical safety, the men with the guns would see to that, but rather for preserving his secret identity. The CIA could not afford to allow him to be seen by any of the scores of Afghans working at the base, except for the trusted driver who was now on his way to pick him up. Even the guards at the front gate would be ordered to turn away to avoid the risk that one of them might glimpse Balawi's face. Matthews picked a secure spot for the meeting, a gray concrete building in a part of the base that served as the CIA's inner sanctum, separated by high walls and guarded by private security contractors armed with assault rifles. The building was designed for informant meetings and was lined on one side by a large awning to further shield operatives from view as they came and left. Here, surrounded by CIA officers and free from any possibility of detection by Al-Qaeda spies, the Jordanian would be searched for weapons and wires and studied for any hint of possible deception. Then he would fill in the details of his wildly improbable narrative, a story so fantastic that few would have believed it had the agent not backed it up with eye-popping proof. Humam al-Balawi had been in the presence of Al-Qaeda's elusive number two leader, the Egyptian physician Ayman al-Zawahiri, one of the twisted brains behind dozens of terrorist plots, including the attacks of September 11, 2001. And now, Balawi was going to lead the CIA right to Zawahiri's door.